This is a Cherish podcast, and I'm your host, Michael Boudreau. I'll be taking you for an inside look behind the glamorous facade of the interior design industry. At a time when every aspect of the business, from sourcing to trends to marketing to dealing with clients, is undergoing rapid change. When it comes to home design, how much tech is too much tech? Everyone wants their home to be up to date, but the history of design is littered with gadgets and innovations that have become outdated almost as soon as they are installed. Everything from in-wall vacuum systems to giant stereophonic speakers to curved TV screens. Should everything from closing the blinds to cooking meals really be accomplished at the touch of a button? Do we need video cameras in every room? Do you want everything from our refrigerators to our thermostats to our door locks connected to our smartphones? Is it possible that smart homes will soon outsmart us? How do you advise clients today about the latest technology? What devices are worth the investment, and which gadgets and trends will soon be superseded by newer innovations? Is there any way to tell which products, apps, and electronics will actually improve your clients' lives? And how do you keep up? I have with me today two designers and an architect who grapple with these questions almost every day. First up is Seattle designer Beth Dottolo. Beth founded Pulp Design Studios in Dallas 17 years ago with her partner, Carolina Gentry. The firm, which is known for creating glamorous and comfortable residences with just a touch of industrial edge, has since expanded beyond Dallas and Seattle with an office in Los Angeles, and the duo are currently at work on residences and hospitality projects across the country. Hello, Beth.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So glad you're here. Toronto designer Cynthia Ferguson mixes bold colors and playful patterns to create richly layered rooms that update tradition with verve. She works closely with her clients on everything from whole house makeovers to room refreshes, always keeping in mind a family's needs and placing comfort at the forefront. And she's making her second appearance on the Cherish podcast. Welcome back, Cynthia.
Hi, Michael. Great to be here again.
For the past 34 years, Greenwich, Connecticut-based architect Charles Hilton has been designing sumptuous and elegant homes inspired by classic American styles, including Georgian, colonial, and shingle style, as well as stunning gardens, pool houses, gazebos, and guest houses. His work has won numerous awards and been featured in many publications, and his first book, Classic Greenwich Houses, was published by Monticello Press. Hello, Chuck.
Hi, great to be with you guys.
So this is a big topic that goes from everything from Wi-Fi, which I think we are probably would all agree is essential to every single house in the United States, to all sorts of hot topics like sustainability, wellness, materials that are safe, all of that stuff. So we have a lot to cover. And I know we all are opinionated. Like, Cynthia, I want to start with you. Have you found from your clients are interested in all this tech, the doorbells that can tell you who's at the door when you're 100 miles away, 1,000 miles away, 2,000 miles away, to push a button to darken the room or change the light bulb colors? Is this something that's appealing to your clients?
I have to say, actually, in thinking about the podcast today, I was reflecting on all of the sort of automation that we've looked at over 15, 20 years in the business now. And it's really shifted. Initially, I felt that it was really a status symbol. The more bells and whistles your house had, the more luxurious your home. And today, I feel the shift really is to simplify all the things that busy lives entail. And I think that shift has come from being showy and a luxurious item and to out-tech one another's neighbors to actually trying to make your life easier and being able to get a head start on things. And I would say today, tech for my clients tends to be more driven by the women of the household than the men, where 15 or 20 years ago, it used to be mostly driven by the men, not the women. And I found that that's quite an interesting shift in the practicality of what we're doing today. So yes, they're definitely interested, but for completely different reasons than they used to be.
So the men are interested in status and the latest high-tech wizardry, and women are interested in practicality. Would you agree with that, Beth? Is that true of your clients?
I don't think that's true of my clients necessarily, but I totally see where you're coming from, Cynthia. But, you know, a lot of our clients, especially like our male clients, they really just want the convenience. And they have these, especially like our executives and our entrepreneurs, they have these like wellness routines where they want to like set the steam shower while they're finishing their workout. So it's ready for them to do a cold plunge. And they want to do all of this over their phone. They're also interested in the wellness as far as the lighting, tracking their circadian rhythm and all that crazy stuff. So I think it's both men and women. And I'm also in Seattle and we're also working on second homes all over the country. So I feel like our clientele might be maybe a little different. We're in a tech hub and our clients who have second homes, they really want that option to be able to control things from afar because you have to be able to monitor from afar.
And Chuck, you do a lot of houses in Greenwich, which is an epicenter of hedge funds and tech people. So I would assume that it's one of the epicenters anyway. I mean, certainly Seattle is as well. But anyway, I would assume that your clients are up to date and knowledgeable about what's out there, which is another question. How do they find out? But I would assume your clients are pretty savvy, tech savvy. So what are they asking for? And have you ever been in a situation where you had to say, you know what? This may be the latest thing, but I'm not sure this is something you're going to need or want 3 years from now.
Yeah, I think I find most of our clients pretty practical. I mean, I think some of the sentiments that were already said, I mean, there's so much going on in people's lives. They want it to be simple. If it gets too complicated, it gets too hard to control, they shut down. So you always have a few people that are super techie and interested in these kind of cutting edge things. But I think that the things most people are interested in are just kind of practical ability to control things in their lives conveniently or mobily, and also to be reliable. A lot of these technologies are not very dependable and they break down or become antiquated in a short period of time. And people have gone through enough replacement generations of certain things where they're like, I'll take this because I know in 3 years, 5 years, I'm going to want to replace it with something else. So, but there's a number of broad categories that they're, you know, electronics and kind of all the things you think of as kind of high tech, I think comes into play in a variety of different ways. And we can get into all that. HVAC systems and energy efficiency, a big interest these days. Low maintenance, kind of convenient materials. And there's so many new interesting materials and products coming on the market. And certainly like the healthy home and the healthy environment for our families before COVID, but even more after COVID is also on people's mind.
So have any of you noticed like a big uptick in people who want to have air purifiers installed throughout systems as opposed to sticking one in a room? Have you found that? Is that of crucial of interest?
I think here in Toronto, we certainly have had those conversations. I would say that when they were making headlines in the news, they were also conversations in those projects. I would say today, we're probably not having as many of those conversations as we had been. I would agree with what Beth said. It was much more today is much more about monitoring second homes, recreational properties, making sure the furnace hasn't gone out, especially here in Canada, where that could lead to freezing pipes. And keeping an eye on the impact of the weather on their recreational homes is something that people, it's really at the forefront of their minds. So maybe not so much air purifiers and air filters anymore as it was 2 years ago even, but definitely the convenience of being able to monitor activity of additional residences.
And you all have mentioned practicality, but practicality is a two-edged sword because I remember when we met our new neighbors in the country, they took us on a tour of their beautiful new house and they were very proud. And every time we'd go to a different room, they'd say, Alexa, turn on the lights. And then Alexa, turn on the lights. Alexa, couldn't you just flip the switch? And also speaking of furnaces going out, you know, the Nest, we have a Nest in our house in Connecticut. And every time there's an internet outage, we panic. And then, or we have to ask the same neighbors will come over and reboot the system or whatever. So yes, it's convenient and it's great to know that the power's gone out, but how do you address those kind of issues? Chuck, do you have your clients that, is this an issue for them? I mean, you know, okay, you want to open the blinds and you do it via your phone, but you forgot to charge your phone.
They all just go into it and say, look, this is what I need. And a lot of them, same thing, multiple houses, remote locations, businesses where they travel a lot, but they want it to be dependable. So we have those conversations with whoever the vendor happens to be about what kind of technologies are reliable and serviceable and those kind of things. So we try to set the expectations for the client and set the expectations for the vendor about what's going to fly and what's not going to fly. And people get really frustrated when important events are going on in their house is not performing the way they expect.
I will say too, though, the best systems out there are ones that you can control by your phone, but that there's also a wall mount control so that you can manually control it as well. So if there is a power outage or if there's a connectivity issue, you can still switch the lights on and there's still like a manual control.
But I would also imagine there's been a huge upswing in demand for generators.
Huge, huge.
I mean, if everything is electronic.
It's true. And I think we certainly talk about them frequently here in Toronto, where people sort of thought it was a great add-on, but really won't be used. And we've been lucky. I think that there was a huge uptick after we had massive ice storms years and years ago, and people were out for a week or more in an urban center, which was insane. So I think generators were big there in the city, but they're more of a, we should have, don't want to need it. But in recreational areas and more rural settings, absolutely. Generators are a must have, be it that it's hardwired to gas or propane or natural gas, or that it's something that you wheel out and hook up as you need. Generators have become huge because we can't ignore the weather obviously has changed and is way more impactful on our lives than it ever has been.
I think it's also driving some interest in alternate energy sources too, because I think people are saying, is the grid always going to be there when I need it? And what's going to happen to our sources of energy and day-to-day costs and those things, but also what if there's an attack and the grid goes down or whatever? And so I see some people, may not be the only reason, but I could see it enters into the conversation about being self-sufficient and having options if the main grid isn't always there.
Now, I want to ask you all about something that COVID had a huge impact on, and we saw the results in the real estate and whatever in people's home renovations is, of course, home offices. Now that people are working from home more than they did before, and some people are totally working remotely, what do you think is crucial in a home office? And does everybody really need different Zoom backgrounds? What are the things that are not necessarily proving to have been such valuable additions to a home office? Beth, why don't we start with you?
I mean, we have so many needs, and I feel like every person's need is different. We have one client who needs a space for storage for a teleprompter because they use teleprompters in their work often.
Oh, interesting.
I know. I was like, do I need a teleprompter?
I could use one.
And with that, they need great lighting. We have people who need a lot of storage because they have multiple printers, multiple monitors. We have some clients who don't need that at all. They work off of a laptop. So I think it's just so personalized. We also have clients who have homework rooms for each of their kids. There's such a vast variety of needs depending on who it is and how they work, but it has become super important. And I feel like we're almost designing around the home offices now as we are like the kitchen. Like the kitchen used to be like the main heart of the home, the big discussion point. Well, now it's like, this is how we're paying for the house. So we got to figure out where we're working.
Good point. Good point. Yeah. You know, no, it is funny. And you know, things change. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when everybody, there was a rush on importing armoires from Europe because everybody wanted to hide their TV in an armoire because they were these big, massive, ugly boxes. Now that's obviously changed. So it's interesting that everybody then needed big desks because your Apple computer, you know, those marshmallow computers from Apple were huge. And now you can put your laptop in a desk drawer. You could put it in the bedside table. You don't even need a desk. So how has that changed? Are your clients, Cynthia, still looking for those kind of traditional things? Or are they, it seems like young kids, the smaller the screen, the better as far as they're concerned. And they'll work sitting on their watching TV with their doing their work. It's alien to me. But have your clients become more casual about what they want in their home in that sense, about not having traditional desks?
I think most of my clients still talk about workspace as flex space, the what if we all end up back at home again. So I think that there has been a discussion in every project that we do about the fact that we do have a dedicated home office now, which didn't necessarily be the case. However, it is spoken about in a flexible type of way, not a, most of my clients, I will say, in fact, I don't think anybody is at home full-time working. They're all back in their offices. But the conversation about where to take a Zoom call is prominent in every discussion, is if I have to take a Zoom call, or even for school, if I'm on a Zoom call with teachers from my children's school, where's the background? what are we looking at? Oh, we shouldn't do reflective mirroring. We shouldn't do, you know, it does come into play and in planning the rooms. I think the other thing that I'm still seeing as well is the discussion around homework space for the kids. And some people, some of my clients, and I'd say we're probably at a 50-50 split, have their kids work at desks in their home, in their bedrooms, and others are still wanting everybody downstairs, sort of at a dining room table or in a communal area where parents can keep an eye on productivity levels, I'm assuming. And I think that that's always still a discussion. I don't know that that will ever change. I think the discussion around homework space is the same pre and post pandemic. The home office discussion has definitely changed, as has the planning for what if there are four of us at home that all need spaces as well. So maybe it's not a console table behind a sofa. Maybe it's a larger writing desk that could also substitute as another workspace for somebody else down the line. That certainly comes up quite frequently.
And if you have four people at home working, you really need good Wi-Fi.
You do. Very good Wi-Fi.
Right. So Chuck, I mean, a lot of your houses are rather large. And I'm sure your clients can have room for anything. But what are they looking for in terms of their layouts? Do they want big home offices? Do they consider the space more flexible? Do they want to be able to work outdoors? When you do like a pool house, does that have to have space for working as well?
I mean, the number one thing is great connectivity, whether it's Wi-Fi or a wired setup. They seem to all still want a home office, probably in most cases, separate ones for two spouses. And I endorse Cynthia's kind of assessment of the children and their needs there. But people used to be able to share offices sometimes, but not anymore, not with Zoom. So the Zoom backgrounds and good lighting and camera maybe in the screen, so you're not staring off into some weird place in space, is all important. That said, most of them are working on laptops and might be traveling around the house or sitting next to the pool or doing something from time to time. So just having good connectivity around the house and outdoors is also really important to them, but they still all seem to have a home base. And these rooms, some are big, but most are modest or perfectly reasonable, but they're just kind of packed with their particular needs for whatever their business or industry is, and quiet, off the beaten path, where they're not going to be interrupted and where they can really focus. In work, in a really pleasant environment, some of them have a big backdrop of the garden or the pool or something else, but private, but with a good view and a nice place to spend time.
Hi, everybody, and thanks for joining us on the Cherish podcast. I'm Anna Brockway, the co-founder and president of Cherish. I'm really excited to let you know that we've just added a major new feature on Cherish. It's called Cherish Messaging, and it lets you communicate directly and privately with our sellers. If you have a question on an item, need a specific measurement, want to ask about a seller's price flexibility, you can now speak discreetly and directly to our dealers through Cherish. Shoppers, and particularly the trade, have been asking for this feature, and we've listened and delivered it. So please come on over and give it a try. Now, back to the show.
What about like music? I mean, it used to be a big status symbol that you'd have speakers set in the ceiling of every room. Is that still something? Because now you can take your Sonos Wi-Fi, your Sonos speaker, it's no bigger than a baguette, smaller than a baguette, actually, and you can move it from room to room. So is that still something that's important for your clients, Beth?
Yeah. And you know what? The funny thing is that the more experience our clients have with sound systems and electronics, the more adaptable they want it to be. So most of our clients these days, if we're doing integrated sound systems, it's usually Sonos based so that you have the flexibility to use the in-wall speaker with the portable speaker. But essentially, like everything that used to be like so hardwired now, they want it to be adaptable because they know that technology updates itself pretty quickly. And in 3 years, there's going to be a whole new system that they want to upgrade to. So the flexibility and the ease of making it upgradable is really important, especially when it comes to like the Sonos systems or the sound systems in general, or really anything actually, whether it's integrated technology in your oven or your steam shower or whatever, they want it to be flexible.
Well, you brought up two areas that are rife with innovations and outdated technology, kitchens and baths. Kitchens, it's a little easier. You know, if you get a rice cooker and then you stop using the rice cooker, you stick it down in the basement, the air fryer or the slow cooker, whatever. But bathrooms, things are really installed. So, Chuck, your clients, do they all want integrated steam showers now or bidets, which became very big now people want, and now are those Toto toilets, which I had never experienced until I was just in Southeast Asia and I had my first one. It was like, whoa.
Took it for a spin.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this is what everyone's talking about. Is that something that, you know, I always said if I was building a house, how would I know what I want in a house if I don't know what's on the market? And how do you find out what's on the market and available? What systems are out there? What technology? Like, I probably might not have known about the Toto toilets. So is this something that your clients, Chuck, really are aware of and desirous of? Do they want to have these latest innovations in the bath or that glass that goes opaque at the switch of a button to give you more privacy, that kind of thing?
You know, the standard primary bath is two vanities or a double vanity, a water closet, a whirlpool tub, and a shower, right? Really nice, luxurious shower. Occasionally, somebody wants a steam shower. Occasionally, somebody wants a sauna. Bidet is a cultural thing, as is the toilet seats. And some people want them, but it's not the most common request.
Interesting. So it hasn't even taken off even with your clients.
Well, some ask for it, but the Europeans tend to want the bidets and people from Asia ask for the toilet seats pretty regularly, but not so much from other people.
I think I'm actually opposite because I think for years we've been designing with Toto toilets. Those aren't really new. We've been doing steam showers. Those are not anything new. But I think what is new is the ability to control a lot of these things from afar. So like setting your steam shower from your phone or setting the temperature of your shower from your phone or filling your tub to a certain temperature, all from the touch of a button. I think that's what's new. Those are the innovations. I don't know what you could do with your Toto toilet from afar. I don't know if there is anything.
That's a scary thought.
But our clients have been asking for these for years. And now it's just more of like, how do we now get it more easy to use with the touch of a button? We're even doing like electrostatic glass for privacy in a shower on these projects in Lanai, Hawaii. So like we're getting requests for this all over. And it's actually really fun because it makes everybody's life super easy until it's not. Call someone else. Don't call me.
Ours is the same too for our clients. I would say it's about being able to go to your home gym and set your steam shower when you're starting your workout so that as soon as you go to the shower afterwards, it's already going. You're not waiting. Again, efficiencies. That's what it's about, is efficiencies. Being able to turn the temperature up on your pool so that you're using it efficiently and just not heating it all the time. If you've got your little kids coming over and they need a warmer pool, and being able to do that from your phone rather than having to remember to go to the pool house and crank the temperature up. I think having accessibility to those things that you can influence your environment from your phone has become paramount for most of our clients.
Okay, but then I'll raise the question, do your clients actually remember to do this? Like, I know that way too often I forget to adjust the heat on my weekend house. And so I forgot to adjust the Nest, you know? It's like, and do people put their ovens on while they're driving home to preheat their ovens? Do people think about that? I mean, I'm impressed if they do.
I have clients who do, who have very busy lives and who are running from hockey rink to hockey rink with the kids, and they want the oven to be hot and ready to go when they get home, or they've got a programmable 5-in-1 oven and they can actually start the cooking from the arena so that it's ready when they get home. I think that some of those appliances have really made quite a difference to the stress level of running kids and lives. I would forget, but I don't have a bunch of young kids hungry at home anymore. So it makes it completely different. If I had had those conveniences when my kids were young and we were running hockey rink to hockey rink, it would have been game changing for me. I would have loved it.
But the beauty of it too is you can also set routines with that woman, Alexa, you were talking about earlier. I hate to say her name because I feel like everyone's houses are going to be popping off on our podcast. But yeah, you can set like routines to have the lights go out at 6 or turn the heat off this weekend. I mean, you can always override them or turn the oven on at 5 o'clock every day because I know I'm going to come home to cook. So, I mean, that's what's so great about it is you can really like completely customize your tech to your life. And it actually makes life so much easier. And so, I mean, I love it. It makes me feel like royalty, you know, just to have everything just sort of working around me. I love it.
That's great. Okay. But also what happens, I think, is that things get so complicated that do people have to remember these passwords? How do they make sure that their smart home isn't smarter than they are? Chuck, do your clients have this issue? I would think they would.
I haven't heard. I mean, I'm sure I know personally there's I got spreadsheet after spreadsheet of passwords. There's so many to keep track of. So I'm sure they have more than I do. Usually by that point, they're
you've signed off
handling it. So I don't hear so much about it. So it is nice when things are simpler.
I think for our clients, one of the things that they have mentioned, again, in the transition from sort of tech 15 years ago, we used to talk about the whole smart home 15 years ago. And that used to become, it used to be cumbersome really to use, that they had an iPad that was embedded in a wall and they had to figure out how to turn the lights on and off and they couldn't remember the zones and it was a disaster. I feel today the tech that my clients are asking for is more app-based. So it's almost an individual function on an app. They don't need to remember a password because they're constantly signed into their app. So it's a little more user-friendly. And when we talk about lighting systems, we really are doing less lighting zones automated. We may be using a Lutron system for switching so that instead of having five ugly light switches lined up on your wall, you have one plate with five little buttons on it and the buttons are labeled. So you're not playing guesswork trying to remember which button to press. So I feel we've become a little more adaptable to making it maybe more single use as opposed to the entire home on one system, which did, I know from my clients, overwhelm most of them and most of them abandoned those systems. So I feel it's maybe a little more user-friendly and maybe we're also evolving and we're 15 years down the tech lifestyle choices and we've really figured out what we can live with and what isn't as important.
And I think the companies that realize that their innovations that they're coming up with, brilliant as they are going to be used by people, not other machines. So people aren't going to remember that. But, you know, we are in an industry that's about newness and people wanting to improve their lives and status. So there's always something that comes along and you think, did we really need this? I think of the Wi-Fi musical shower heads. Do I need to have music piped into my shower? You know, I'm not in my shower for an hour. So do you ever have to say no to a client when they say, oh, I want this innovation, this is so cool? I mean, not that you would say no, but maybe discourage them. Chuck, have you ever done that with clients?
I have. I try to think of a good example, but sometimes people learn about things and they sound so cool and innovative and interesting. And then you've tried it, you've used it, and it's filled with complexities and problems. And a lot of them are educated enough to say, hey, I just learned about this. Do you think that makes sense? And then you could say, well, it is kind of cool, but here's the pros, but here's the cons of things. And they're usually good at listening and following your lead if they're open to that. I mean, there's a few other things like electronic shade controls, which in a large house, a lot of these have beautiful views, get lots of sunlight, and then there's a certain time of the day where the shades need to come down or they're away and they're up remote control. Those things, they can be fairly complicated and once in a while kind of misfunction and stuff, but they are kind of very useful for larger homes and remote controls. I mean, things like we're doing pre-wiring for electric cars, whether people have them yet or not, we're pre-wiring for them right away. And certainly in the lighting controls, there's so many light switches on a wall. There's so many circuits and stuff outside that even though the back end could be kind of complicated, having one keypad to control all your landscape lights and four buttons for four different scenes is really helpful. So
we actually have in Toronto, our building code, you have to, with new construction, you have to put in wiring for battery for electric cars, which I think is great that we're going that way and that we're preparing for it. Well, I think we all know the problems that we're all facing with them as well. But I think that having that is starting to integrate some of that technology or greener solutions into home building is so imperative at this point. We really can't ignore it. And I think, Chuck, to your point too, even about the automatic blinds, we install them frequently in homes that are more modern with more glass coverage for heat control, light control, fabric fading, floor fading. I mean, we can't ignore that the sun does ruin your interiors to a scale that it never used to. I don't think that we could all walk away from summer residences and simply throw sheets over our furniture anymore. And I think that realizing that and having those conversations with our clients is very important because they're investing a substantial amount of money in all of their material selections. And even though we live in places like Toronto or north of here, and we don't have as many daylight hours, we certainly do during the summer. And the sun is not the one that we all grew up with. And you want to protect that investment. And if that means automatic blinds on temperature control or light control, even not personal preference, I think that that's something that we owe to our clients to have the conversation about.
And that's actually, you make the point, that's a very good investment. It's going to pay off. That's certainly not a musical shower head. You know?
No, or themed lighting. I've seen that too in the shower heads. Also, not a conversation.
The green and the orange, yeah, whatever.
Yes, exactly.
That's a party. Let's put it on party mode.
I never knew I wanted purple lights in my shower.
Still don't. But speaking of investment, I mean, we do encourage our clients to pre-wire, like you said, for the electric vehicles, for the shades if they need it. But also we have outlets put installed behind every toilet now because in the luxury residences, because so many clients, if they're going to resell, they want the opportunity to be able to put in a Toto toilet. So even if our homeowners don't want it.
Oh, good point.
We tell them like it's a drop in the bucket when you're building a home. It's going to cost you like $100 or less. Just put the plug there so that way you can always upgrade later. So just thinking through and talking with your clients about you may not want it now, but you don't want to have a costly investment later to add it when you could really just invest a small amount now to have it ready to upgrade at any time. So,
and I think that would be so important to your clients, Chuck, and that you have to really advise them on things like, I mean, I know I'm forgetful. I'll make a list of what I would want in a home or whatever, but I know I would forget. Oh, I didn't put an electric charger. So is this something that you have a checklist in your office that you go through with your clients to say yes or no for this, that, the other thing?
Yeah, we do. We ask a lot of those questions and coach them to put in what we think they need. And also just things as simple as a conduit. Extra conduits leaving the house, going out to critical points in the landscape. Conduits running from the basement to the attic or from one end of the house to the other so that when systems and wiring and stuff change, it's easier to pull things through. So we're always kind of pre-planning for things we don't know are coming yet.
Actually, that's one thing too that I just remembered. There's new technology as well for flooding, which is huge and is something new to our area. But we now have flood zones as well attached to our real estate titles. So having that technology, the fish put in on your sub pump and being able to have an alert on your phone and whatnot. I mean, the amount of money that it costs to put it in might be $2,400, but that's going to likely be smaller than your deductible on your insurance. And you also get a massive insurance rebate for having it too. So there are also those conversations that we have is with our clients at the very, very beginning when we're just sitting down with the architects, the builders, and our team are what safeguards are we putting in the generator, the water control, the flooding, all those sorts of things. Even for toilet running, it will alert you that there's been a volume change. So I think that those things are really important to consider, and they may not be as sexy as lighting and sound systems and whatnot, but again, they're safeguarding your largest investment.
Everything related to security and monitoring is kind of off the charts. With the flooding, I mean, you could turn your house water off if the flow is too much and you're monitoring for smoke, but CO2, which that stuff's been around forever. The cameras, I mean, people aren't putting many or any in their house, inside the houses, but there's tons outside and license plate readers for the driveway and security lights tied to floodlights and other things outside. I mean, everything related to just kind of keeping tabs and monitoring what's going on continues to expand.
Certainly does here. We have terrible, terrible car thieving going on. I think we're like number one in the world right now in Toronto. So everybody's got added security and cameras where you can actually speak to the people that you're looking at in your driveway. And it's been unbelievable how many cameras people have been adding just to make sure that their car is still parked there in the morning. I used to tease my boys when they were growing up about our cameras and the fact that they were there just to keep tabs on what time they were coming in, where now it really is what we check to make sure the car is still there in the morning.
But what I love about it is it's so scalable. Like if you have just like a small single family residence, you can put a couple of like Nest cameras up. And if you have a big luxury home, you can have a home integration consultant that can help you with your sound, your tech. They can keep all your passwords for you and come deal with any tech issues. So I just love that in any part of that spectrum, you can still use some technology in your home to make your life a little easier to keep tabs on or security in your home.
And these are all really crucial and important things to think about, which is why, of course, you professionals are so important to your clients. But clients also have their own dreams, shall we say, and their own fantasies. So aside from worrying about flooding and all of that, which is so important, what are clients really dreaming of having in their homes that's new and different? Cynthia, what about your clients? We'll start with you.
So when I think about what my clients are now asking for, I don't know that it's anything that's new. I will say that they tend to ask me what I'm seeing, what other people are putting in, because they may not be that well versed in what's out there. They may know that they need to put in security and they need to put in CO2 and smoke and sort of the standard things, and that there may be something that somebody has on an app that they saw. So I do find that they ask me more frequently than anything. And I would say at the moment, most of the, oh, that sounds great moments sort of are really kitchen appliances, and how quickly the kitchen appliances have really seemed to change. Everything else they may have been installing in an earlier iteration, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. But the new technology, I would say, when they find out about what their appliances can now do in the kitchen, that's more of a, oh gosh, I think I'd love that.
And Chuck, what about your clients?
A few things that come to mind that they've been asking for more. There's been a lot more interest in induction cooktops with the more and more press about the off-gassing, you know, of gas ranges and things like that. Steam ovens have become a more popular request. So that kind of takes care of the kitchen. There's a lot of people either aging in place or planning to age in place or with elderly parents. And so home elevators are more and more a request. And even if they're not quite ready for it, we're planning by stacking closets that accommodate a shaft above, you know, in the plan. But going back into some older homes where it's quite difficult, we have to figure out a way to get a vertical circulation through 2, 3, 4, 5 different levels. Some older homes have multiple split level plans and stuff. So that's very important. And I guess on the fun side of things, a lot of interest in golf simulators at home. And
oh, I like that.
I was going to say the same thing.
I like that.
Being ready for spring, you know?
Oh, that's funny. And is there any increased interest on the part of your clients, Chuck, about materials, like more sustainable materials, materials that don't have any we're way beyond asbestos, thank God, but we're hearing that certain materials give off a lot of carbon, whatever. Is that an issue for them?
Some of this they may bring up or touch on, and then some of it we kind of instigate the conversation and people seem to be interested in. I mean, on the HVAC front, both for kind of being green, but also for saving money in terms of energy efficiency. If we're not using high efficiency kind of hydro air systems, there's now these air source heat pumps that are a lot more efficient, that are all electric or geothermal. And there was a lot of interest in the larger projects. The geothermal made a lot of sense when the tax credits were in place, then they went away and now they're back. So roughly, if a standard system cost X, then the geothermal is 1.5 times that. But then you get a 30% tax credit. So you're almost back down to the same cost. And the equipment lasts a lot longer and it's a whole lot more efficient. So we're doing a lot more geothermal again. And we've been doing super tight building envelopes, high performance glazing, spray foam insulation, these air barriers and wraps, heat exchangers, and all those things just to comply with code, but for good practice. We have some projects where we've actually done electric cogeneration, where we're making our own electricity on site and then recapturing all the waste heat and using it to heat the building and saving money that way. That's ultimately, most of it's a fossil fuel anyway. And then the building materials, anything kind of low maintenance. We use a lot of cellular PVC foam, which isn't the cheap stuff, but the kind of heavy, solid material that we use for trim. And it holds up hardly, you know, needs like half or a third of the painting that traditional wood does. It saves, in our case, you know, a lot of rainforest wood that we'd use to kind of hold up in the long run. And you have to know how to detail it because it expands and contracts more than normal wood would. And these high-performance vapor wraps and stuff are important because the buildings are getting so tight that you want them to breathe. You want the water to kind of get out of the air. So you have all those on the healthy side, low VOC paints, and that are becoming more and more standard. and finishes, things like porcelain tiles are getting better and better and pretty convincing for a lot of applications, you know, mudroom floors, and they may not want to put it in the master. Some people put them in the master bath. You might not want to, but certainly in the high traffic areas, they're super durable, really affordable, and looking really pretty good these days.
And Beth, what about your clients? What are they coming to you saying, I want to try this, or I'm thinking about this, should I do this?
I think all of our clients, when we're talking tech, they're always interested in like health and wellness and recreation, really self-care, recreation, like that whole kind of pocket. And it's really all about just having modern conveniences at home. We're talking like in the primary bathroom, they want to use a towel warmer that's like automated. They want to have a whole like system set up from like, I'm going to go to my hot shower, my steam shower, to my cold plunge. And like, they want to be able to like set it all and get it ready. We're doing like smart gyms with lots of programmed tech equipment with water fillers in the wall integrated, lighting systems that, again, track with the lighting changes as it changes throughout the day so that your system's not jarred and it tracks your circadian rhythm. But also golf simulators. We're doing golf simulator, but you know, we're doing a lot of stuff like golf simulators, spa wings, all that kind of fun stuff that is not just for your friends, but it's also for you. So when you have a better elevated daily experience. But then of course it's fun to tell it to go into party mode. Hey Alexa, go let's have party mode and then show off for all your friends. But that's really what it's mostly about for us and for our clients. You know, a lot of the other stuff is sort of just assumed, the security, all that stuff. Like that's stuff we bring integrators for. But it's really all about like, how do I make my everyday easier, better, and elevated?
Well, this has been fascinating. I guess the lesson we've learned is geothermal and golf simulators, yes.
Yeah.
Musical shower heads, no.
Maybe.
Okay.
You don't sing in the shower.
But I don't do karaoke in the shower. I think it's so helpful to our listeners. I really learned so much. And I want to thank my wonderful guests, Cynthia Ferguson, Chuck Hilton, and Beth Dottolo. And thank everyone for listening to the Cherish Podcast. You've been listening to the Cherish Podcast, brought to you, of course, by Cherish, which was voted by the readers of USA Today as the best place to shop online for furniture and home decor. If you enjoyed this episode, please tell a friend or colleague. Or, better yet, go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. We appreciate your help in spreading the word, and we would love your ideas for future episodes. Please email us at podcast@cherish.com. The Cherish Podcast is produced by Muggs Buckley and engineered by Hanger Studios in New York. Until next time,